Welcome to Love Amped, an exploration of healing others through healing ourselves. Check out loveamped.com for additional resources and support.
Love Amped. Hello, my friends. Welcome to Love Amped. I'm your host, Seth Pearson, and today we are joined with Andrew Knack on our very first episode. Let's explore self-love together. So we're here with Andrew Knack, one of my best friends, just a real creative genius, passionate guy, it goes real deep in there where this stuff comes from, and so we're gonna learn more about Andrew Knack.
Oh my God, people are gonna learn about me today. Yeah, that's so exciting.
So, Knack, when did you realize you had to love yourself?
Damn. You know, every time you ask somebody that question, I think there's a moment where they have to really dig deep for a second. For me, I think it was a gradual process. So it was... I don't think there was ever really a moment where I deliberately decided to, like, all right, here and now I'm gonna love myself. Because for me, I think it was even, first of all, I had to figure out what love meant, what self-love meant, and who it was that I was loving. Like, there were a lot of, obstacles to answer, a lot of parts to that question for me. Let's see, introducing these ideas, where to start. So with my personal struggle, with which Seth knows all about, has been with just ridiculous levels of mental illness over the past couple years, which really started at like a point of disgust and self-hatred, escalating into anxiety, and some perceptual disturbances, which graduated up to bipolar, and then so I had the mania and the depression, which then eventually started picking up schizophrenia spectrum symptoms to full-blown schizoaffective disorder, which I deal with now, though fortunately in the past week. So I've been pretty much symptom-free, which has been awesome. But for me, the challenge was just coming from a place of self-hatred, and then my mind becoming so distorted that I couldn't really figure out who I was, because I was changing all the time. So, I mean, I could go up really high and be a totally different person, go down really low and be a totally different person, or just pick up all kinds of strange psychotic spectrum, like schizophrenia stuff, that would make me a totally different person. And I kind of felt like lots of different people all the time. So when it was like, oh, I'm gonna love myself, well, it's like, who am I loving? Because there's all kinds of different personalities in here that have their different ideas, and some of them can't even feel love, and all very confusing. And it was interesting being, having you in my life, Seth, because you were going on a completely different approach to it, where it was more of a self-empowerment and release from, just, you just made the decision, and then you followed through. And it was interesting seeing that, and then kind of realizing for myself that that wasn't something I was going to be able to do, because just we're two different people, different circumstances. And so kind of the way that I fundamentally ended up looking at it was that for me, self-love wasn't about necessarily like caring for myself in a particular way, or being free of any particular thing, because when it comes right down to it, I can't achieve freedom from these things when they hit me. And it was more hanging on to that sense of self-worth and not letting any condition of illness, any interpersonal relationship struggle, and not letting any single thing take that value from me, and building a strong core within the center of my being, which was really hard to do because it was kind of hard to find where that core was. But in time, I was able to construct it. And then I think beyond that, it was acting out from that core that was kind of, for me, the, you know, the making the decision was finding the core, and then following through was acting in a way that made sense and was in alignment with that core. So if I'm somebody who values myself, if I'm somebody who is worthwhile, who has something to offer the world, how would I behave? How would I go about these things? And through that, I was able to begin to be less judgmental of myself in conditions of illness, and really find the beauty in the experience that I knew was there all along, but I'd gotten so lost in it that it had just gotten terribly confusing. So I think the stability that I found in that was key, but I had to really dig deep to figure out how to do it, because it was always one of those things when I hear you talk about self-love, I'd just be like, I'm not really sure what that is. Like, it's not immediately obvious to me how I do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Were there any other, like, moments that if you, like, even though, of course, like, gradual process, were there any moments that, like, you were just like, wait a minute, like, I can't not love myself anymore, like, I just can't, like, I can't keep doing this kind of a thing?
I guess I guess that I have to think about it for a second. The phrasing that you're using isn't something that's not like a phrase that my mind would create. There's never like a sense of oh man, I can't keep going on doing this, because it's never, for me, it never feels like so much. Let's see, how do I phrase this? So because of the way my mind works, there's a strong echo feedback chamber that like resonates from very deep places, so it builds a really strong mental current that is not something that can really be controlled moment to moment. So there's never like, oh, I can't keep doing this anymore, because it's like, well, whether you like it or not, this is what's happening right now. So for me, once again, it was more like the digging deep. And so there were definitely moments where it wasn't so much like a decision, whereas I was engaging in like psychological warfare inside my own head. And there were moments where I won huge victories in that battle.
Like where you felt like you were like, okay, we're getting somewhere.
Yeah, there are moments where I was able to like bargain with myself when I was in more psychotic states, or I mean, it was more just fighting against the states to get myself back, because basically I need stability I need stability to maintain a energy that is loving. And if I don't have that, I can't do it. So for me, it's like getting back to that center place.
Gotcha.
And so it's not so much of like a logical, like, oh, I have to try and love myself, but
yeah
I don't know.
Wow. If you could talk to yourself like at like to like maybe age 18 version of yourself,
oh geez,
what would you say?
Wow. Get ready, it's gonna be rough. Brace yourself. I think I'd probably just tell myself to go about like finding strong father figures. that I could learn from, because a lot of my challenges have been like losing my dad at a young age, and then not really realizing what kind of parenting I was missing out on until I've kind of dealt with the ramifications later in life on top of all the illness issues, or just issues with like strength and masculinity and like confidence, that finding that stable balanced place rather than being a neurotic mess. You know, things that like strong masculine energy can really help with. So I would definitely push towards finding a better father figure, because I've noticed I've kind of gravitated towards people like that, but it's always been kind of like a weird, like, I don't know, what's going on?
Like, you're not sure why.
Yeah, yeah.
But it, like, made you feel, like, uncertain or uncomfortable because you're not used to giving that off yourself or something like that.
Or like, I just felt like I was getting something from them that seemed to be a little more than just... what may have been like, it felt, they felt like a father kind of figure to me. So I'd probably tell myself to seek that out sooner rather than later.
Awesome.
Cause, I mean, I think that would be a big one. Wow. One right there.
That's crazy.
Love and
wow, what an incredible journey that Nack has gone through. Such openness in this episode, and I'm really grateful for that. Stay tuned till next time when we explore more of what self-love means to us. And until then, love yourselves out there. We are back, and Fuzzman has joined us this time. How would you describe Fuzzman's current mood?
He's perturbed because of the sound bowl.
And you know what? He's gonna learn to like it.
Probably not.
Probably not. Okay, so we were talking about masculinity, like like kind of gravitating towards more masculine, like fatherly figures. And around what time did you, like, I don't know, start noticing that those were
figures? Started noticing it, but maybe probably once I started working professionally, so like 4 years ago, where my first two bosses I've got along with them really well. I can scoot closer. Got along with them really well, and they both kind of provided a different take on fatherhood, I guess. They, they kind of had each other own vibe, but it was still like there were still shortcomings in both of them, like dangers and like buying into their outlook, where they were unstable outlooks on life. It's something I found that most people I end up looking up to, you know, I quickly find the flaws and or bare minimum how, if I personally were to live by their approach, I would have serious issues. And so there were I don't know. Plus, I feel like there's a difference when there's like somebody is actively being a father figure. There's there's a different approach, I guess, where, you know, you can still have your own shortcomings, but there's more of an effort to like cultivate growth in a person. Whereas at the point where I came in, it was kind of like I was doing the cultivating and somebody else was providing the new information, so I kind of had to become like a mediator for that information. But I don't think I ever like fully understood the value of that until like this year. It's like a recent thing to where I really started, you know, after years of digging deep, that I really started to see the areas that I was lacking. It's like hard to know what you don't know.
You don't know what you don't know. Being at a place that you are now, like, what would you... Like, what do you see as, like, your next steps of trying to evolve in this way?
In this way? Well, the next step would be getting back into dating again.
Mm-hmm.
Would be the next one, because the biggest challenge for me has been just maintaining any kind of personal relationship over the past... several years. It got increasingly more difficult, and as soon as the schizophrenia symptoms hit, those, if you're unfamiliar with those, schizophrenia is a particularly isolating illness, and fortunately I don't have the full schizophrenia. It's, you know, the hybrid schizoaffective, so mm-hmm. It's not as prone to, like, it's not as consistent with those systems that kind of symptoms, they come and go. But for me, the challenge has just been maintaining even friendships has been impossible, and everything's changing so often. So for me, now that I've managed to maintain some kind of stable state, that's the next step moving forward. In fact, I feel like it's the only major area I'm lacking as a person, is my ability to form relationships with particular people, especially romantic relationships. And it's just been just about learning how to build that connection. And the biggest thing for me has just been acknowledging how far I've come and the ways in which I am highly developed as a person, and accepting those, and you know, giving myself a little pat on the back, a little self-love, if you will.
Definitely.
And then with that, then being willing to acknowledge the area where I'm incredibly underdeveloped, which is my ability to foster especially romantic relationships, but just a lot of just general relationships. And then just taking steps into moving forward with that, like at the festival we went to this weekend, and I was just all about physical contact and touching and getting, you know, laying in cuddle piles, and like, it just, my whole focus was people. You know, I wasn't just going alone and meditating, because I was like, you know, I've done enough of the introspection. Like, even though this is like a meditation yoga festival, I'm all about the people. I'm just gonna hang out with people and try and learn more about them and hear more about their perspectives in life, and yeah, definitely learn some useful tools. Still got a long ways to go, but I think the key is just recognizing without negative judgment or criticism towards myself that I am underdeveloped in this way. I think the challenge in our current culture is that, which is something that I definitely struggled with for a while, is that whole like anti-nice guy culture, where it's like, if you're a nice guy, it's not just that, like, oh, better luck next time, buddy. It's like, no, you are disgusting, and oh no, actually you are evil. We're like, it gets pushed all the way to the end, where, and then it's like, there's no one who will help you. You are completely worthless. Is the message, and for a while I was like, well, it's a little different for me because, you know, extreme mental illness, and then I kind of like dodge some of the self-loathing triggered by that cultural climate. But like, once, you know, I've been getting better, you know, it's been hitting me, and I, you know, can't keep making excuses, you know. And so for me, looking into it has just been understanding the reasons why I have those types of issues, and it's not even really like nice guy issues, it's just connecting with people issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it really easy to just be submissive and jello-y when it comes to social interactions because it's complicated.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I feel poised to take the next steps in that direction.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's an awesome next step. Mm-hmm. Like, what would you tell someone that has a hard time being open?
Oh shit, dude, I have the opposite problem.
I know.
Somebody that has a hard time being open, well, I guess I could share the sometimes it's good to not be open, which is what I've had to learn.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned the amazing lessons of, like, there are things you don't have to tell people. Which that was mind blowing to me, because I thought if I'm going to interact with literally anybody at any level, they need to understand all the details about who I am, or else how else are they going to know who I am?
Uh-huh.
And like, that was the way, you know, a little bit of the autistic spectrum from, mm-hmm. you know, some of the strange ideas about how social interactions are supposed to work.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, for people that are being open, how to be more open. Well, I guess my intent when I'm being open is, I guess I don't really, the way my brain is wired, I just don't particularly feel concerned about sharing really intimate personal information with complete strangers.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess if you're trying to cultivate in that, in yourself, it would make sense that you'd simply have to be comfortable sharing that information. And I guess, I feel like for the most part, there aren't really any negative consequences if you're doing it,
yeah.
like I've definitely done a lot of silly things, disclosed mm-hmm. information that actually, like, created a much more difficult environment for me, because it gave people like reason to build more of a negative outlook towards me, and like fuel, you know, weapons, conversational mm-hmm. weapons against me. And, you know, I started noticing those things. I'm like, oh, wait a minute, like, not everybody is totally benign and understanding and wants to know your details. Some people mm-hmm. like are actually like a little bit more combative, and maybe mm. I should guard information.
Mm.
Yeah.
But you feel like you figure out how to find the right people to share.
Sort of. I don't know. I mean, basically I just started categorizing people as like friend or foe at this point. And mm-hmm. I know that like somebody who I don't see as a friend, that means that there's certain sets of information, like mental illness mm-hmm. or I mean, just day-to-day, like how I'm feeling,
yeah.
just hiding weaknesses, because before mm-hmm. I just kind of put them out there, not really understanding that there are weaknesses or whatever, mm-hmm. but basically just maintaining a strong presence.
Yeah.
Because there have been times where I have been pushed around by people because mm-hmm. I was so open. But then mm-hmm. the way I approach it is this with friends. If I'm like, oh, now I acknowledge this person as a friend, well, then yeah. I'll share literally any information with them.
Yeah.
With no reservation. But then the key then is, you know, sharing at the right time. And are they interested? Like, right. if they ask, I'll tell them. But then, mm-hmm. you know, not just telling them.
And so you would say you'd also, like, you've developed a better judge of character as well.
Oh, definitely. Like, acknowledging that there are just nasty people, mm-hmm. that they're actually kind of, you know, maybe not as... I mean, I'm definitely, like, a very benevolent person
mm-hmm.
at my core, and I assumed everybody else was that way. Any mm-hmm. deviation from benevolence was due to some kind of inner pain that they were struggling with, and it's mm-hmm. like... Now, some people just take advantage of you because they can, and that's what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Yeah, don't give them weapons to use against you and try and figure out their game yeah. right off the bat. And, you know, some people are nice sometimes, and then they also have games. So then it's like, yeah. what, you know, it's a balance.
Do you see a way of like what has helped you the most, like cultivate that judgment of people or that judge of character, like that skill of just like, because I think there's a lot of people that like, oh, trust is when you like slowly build it with someone that you're like, oh, I don't know, I don't trust anyone until I've been hanging out with them.
I kind of just feel it forever immediately. Like, I don't know, like the people we were hanging out with this weekend at the festival.
Yeah,
there were people. Yeah, I just had a conversation and we immediately were sharing like information about like lost loved ones and illness and just very, you know, just fundamental life struggles just within like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was gauging how much to disclose.
Yeah.
And I ended up picking the right amount of things to disclose. So,
nice.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't try and build stuff over time.
Yeah.
Maybe I should. I don't know. That's where I'm at right now.
I mean, I'm in the camp of like, if you can find the right people and just like immediately just like dive.
My main thing is just picking up on imposters, like people that like, getting a better radar for people that like when I something feels kind of funny, mm-hmm. trying to figure out if, cause I maybe like I feel like right now I look for motives and in patterns and I guess just like a transfer of energy, like are they siphoning energy out of the interaction to use for their own purposes, or is it or like an even flow, kind of an equilibrium. And then if I start picking up on that, then it's like, oh, okay, maybe they're not a friend. Maybe I need to, like, hold back.
Interesting. This is, just an interesting topic that I think a lot of people aren't too, like, aware of how to do.
I thought everybody was aware. This is news to me right now that other people aren't doing this automatically, because I just assumed they all were.
No, I think people don't know how to throw out those different like levels of trust to others.
I guess that makes I guess I just assumed that everybody was like judging each other's level of like, I don't know, just like very aware of who is getting what and giving what and what they wanted, and
I guess thinking
playing the social game, because at least that's what, especially as somebody who's like learning that, I'm a little behind in that area. When I'm around people, that's what it definitely feels like, that I'm in this game where everybody knows the rules and they are just like winning super hard, and I'm just like trying to tread water and grabbing some victories where I can. So I don't know. It's cool to find out they're also in the dark
too. Yeah, there's people that are like completely lost in this category. And I just think once you, because I think, at least with myself, with like having just a lot of incredible friends that like help me figure out like more and more like of who I am. Mm-hmm. Some of these lost people, I think, just finding these good, like being able to find the good people, like could just do wonders. So I was trying to figure out more of how to communicate that to people.
And how to help them find. Mm-hmm. So you think the key is just finding the right people?
I think that's one large aspect. Okay. That, and at least specifically for me, has been, really important.
Yeah.
So I don't know how necessarily that it has to be this very important thing, but of course, we're all we got, so.
Yeah.
It's a hard one to ignore.
Yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you would want to share to someone that feels lost?
Someone that feels lost
in this like life.
Dang. Well, let me think about this for a minute.
Take a second. Somebody
who's lost. See, I'm very familiar with being completely lost, but I've never thought of how to communicate to somebody else how to not be lost. How to get found, if you will.
Yeah.
I guess fundamentally, the challenge is figuring out who you are and what you want.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, like, that's generic enough. You could apply it kind of fundamental yeah. enough that it's, I mean, that's kind of what I've done in my own spectrum of things, but
like, be open to exploration pretty much there. Like, explore. How do they explore that?
How do they explore?
Of, like, finding that.
Finding which thing? Themselves path. Or what they want? Or?
Yeah, both.
Well, finding yourself, I think, at least for me, finding myself was about facing my pain first. When I face my pain, when you're in a challenging time, I feel like your true colors really show through. And when you confront building that self-awareness, I'm not sure how aware most people are of their pain. I'm sure they can feel that they have pain, but might not know how to even go about figuring out what's causing it.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe people know, probably spectrum. I don't know. I'm definitely the latter. Like, I knew what was causing it most of the time and I kept digging deeper. But if you don't know what it is, then, you know, psychotherapy can be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you found your pain, then you kind of know what your psyche is trying to protect itself from. And that's what I figured out what I needed because of that. So the thing that is causing you pain for me was because I was deficient in a particular way that I was perfectly capable of mending and growing with. And then finding your passion, that's one where I've always had passion 100% my whole life, all the time, lots of different things.
Mm-hmm.
So finding what you want, for me, the other side of it, I guess, has been, there's been a lot of passion, but it's been so intense that it has negatively impacted other areas like relationships and stuff. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, it's like one of my patterns was like, oh, well, I love making music. Like, I'm having trouble building friendships. I'm really out of my goddamn mind right now, so I'm just going to isolate myself for weeks and do music because that's easy. And my mind's crazy, so the whole world's very interesting all the time, and it's great. And, you know, there's a lot of passion there, but realizing, you know, the other side of what I want, which is I also want people too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not one of those people that can just be isolated and be perfectly happy. You know, I really do like being around other people. So, kind of out of this experience, I found a second thing that I want. Right, mm-hmm. I always knew the first thing, but then there's the second thing, and then also finding how those two things connect. I don't know. Dude, that's a big question. If you're lost, that applies to literally everybody on the planet.
Yeah,
and like the answer is gonna be different for, but I'd say if you look in deep in yourself and are absolutely sincere and consistent in your practice of looking deep within yourself, you know, doing it every day, you're gonna start to see things. And they're gonna suck and be uncomfortable, but you kind of just have to get addicted to the just the upheaval that creates in your life when you start digging away at those things. Mm-hmm. Maybe with the aid of a therapist, if you feel it is necessary. Mm-hmm. At least that's my opinion on it.
Wow. God damn. The internet. So incredible. So incredible. I cannot believe it. Just every day. Look at him. Look at him go.
I'm right here.
He's doing it. Gosh. Wow. Shit. I'm pretty speechless over here. Pretty speechless.
Me too. I ran out of things to say.
I just think it's great. Just let it grow, let it keep growing, and just wow. Everyone can do it. Okay.
And maybe even Fuzzman
too. And maybe even Fuzzman too. Wow.
This was Love Amped, a podcast by Seth Pearson. Check out loveamped.com for more info on today's topic.